Durant to end the quarter with a three.
Shades of Toronto.
Shades of Cleveland two other times in the finals.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
LeBron's got it one-on-one against Rudy Gay. I'm surprised Gay's guarding LeBron because he has five fouls. LeBron shoots a three. Good! Another one!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Schroeder giving the ball 8.1 left under down one. Westbrook comes with it between the rings. Slashes left. Jump pass to George Open. Pump fakes. Fires an angle right into the lead. It's up. Cha-ching! A Thunder money ball! By George, the Thunder lead. 114-112. 3.1 to play. Paul George erupts for 25 fourth quarter points. 47 on the night. And Oklahoma City from 23 back. Owns a two-point cushion at 114-112. Oh, my goodness.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 12:01 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
What's happening?
Not much, man. Just the end of the world. Just the end of the world.
The end of the world as we know it. Are you feeling fine? Are you feeling okay about the end of the world? Are you ready for the end of the world? Are you fully prepared?
Do you ever think about big questions like that? Like on your drive or just sitting at home one day? I sometimes will go through my mind how I will be if like some huge thing is going on and like, it's clearly the end.
It's panic mode.
Right.
Are you going to stay composed or are you going to be everybody's freaking out, chickens with their heads cut off?
I don't know. I feel like almost all of us think we're going to act a certain way and then we never do.
Yeah. I feel like I would stay pretty composed.
Like my favorite one is when something horrific happens.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed this in the media nowadays, and I don't like it. Something bad happens, and somebody instantly goes, well, if I was there, this would have happened. And you're like, I don't think that would have happened. No, I don't.
Not buying it.
Like, I hate saying this, but like that school shooting in Florida, where they had the security guy, he was caught leaving. Like, everybody just destroys that guy. And I get it. That's his job. He's supposed to protect and he leaves. He should be fired and get in trouble. But I love the instant, if that was me, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, you don't know the experiences until you walk a mile in somebody's shoes.
Thank you.
It's very easy on the outside looking in to say that you would react differently. But until you're actually in that situation, you cannot emphatically state that you would.
Yeah, yeah. There was a psychologist did a study on that just a few months back. And his report really upset people. But he's a longtime psychologist, really respected guy.
What do you say, we're all cowards, essentially?
Well, he brought this topic up about how people insert themselves into really horrific incidents and say they would have done something different to stop it or try to prevent it. And his study just, it alarmed people because he says everybody always goes to like Nazi Germany and says, oh, if I was around, it wouldn't have happened. If I would have been there, I would have stopped it. His study concluded that like 88% of humans would not have done anything.
No. How would you have stopped World War II from happening?
Right.
Like one individual? You wouldn't have seen it coming. Come on now.
But people just think they'd be one way in a really bad incident or situation, and most of us would not be. We'd probably be the other.
This is a heavy start to the show.
Well, the only reason I'm going heavy start is because we brought up the end of the world, and then we went into that, but this got me thinking because I saw a story this morning that was right up your alley.
Yeah, I've been warning of this for a long time, and people laugh at me, but it's officially begun.
And I'm on the other side of this, and now I think I might be going to your side. So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, Amazon today in New Jersey had one of their robots leak bear spray, and it hospitalized 24 staffers.
It's happening. This is it. This is the beginning.
Yeah. Amazon slammed for conditions workers in the warehouse. Today, a robot released bear repellent and sent 24 humans to the hospital.
They came out initially and had tried to claim that the can of bear repellent had just fallen off a shelf.
No.
And exploded, and it got in the face and eyes of a lot of people in the area. But no. It was a robot that punctured the bear spray. And now that creature, whatever the hell you want to call it, that robot that is already probably smarter than us, realizes the damage that he can cause, he's going to tell all of his robot friends, this is the beginning of the end. I have been warning of a robot takeover for quite some time, and now they just realized how much pain they can inflict with just a simple prick of a bear spray can.
So you think this is officially the turning point for the robot kind?
I am terrified. We have given too much power to the robot, and now they're starting to seize some of it.
You know, how would we fare against a robot?
We wouldn't stand a chance.
You don't think so?
We would not stand a chance against the robot.
Because you would assume they could hack into our intelligence. They could stop any missiles being fired.
Yeah, there's no chance. Yeah. There's too many of them. We're building too many robots. If they all banded together. Have you seen, oftentimes those stories will pop up like on Twitter with a video of what like new lab has created of like a there's a robot snake now. Have you seen that one? And it like climbs
I don't
up,
like that.
It climbs up stairs and it climbs up ladders. People have created robots that like run around on four legs and can jump up like 10 feet high onto boxes and stuff. Basically look like a panther. It's something out of Terminator 2. Like, why are we creating this stuff?
Well, I don't have the answer for you outside of people trying to find better ways, more efficient ways to run their company or the world. But it doesn't feel like it's going to go the right direction.
This robot sent 24 people to the hospital and one of them's in critical condition.
Like, are we sure the robots can be controlled and that they're not going to get rid of us because they understand we're the threat?
No.
And the other part is, you know, if robots were to eliminate us, what do they do next? Like, what's their life?
Yeah, what do they do on Earth?
They become even more self-aware, and then they just run their own civilization. And then what happens if their civilization starts to crumble? Do they build the next whatever, and then that thing comes after them?
Yeah, robots taking over, just hanging out.
A lot of different directions you could go with this Amazon story, and obviously we're going down a deep rabbit hole here. But pretty alarming stuff out of Amazon that a robot punctures bear repellent and sends all these people to the hospital.
Yeah, I enjoyed all the people on Twitter this morning. I woke up and I was scrolling through seeing what I missed. There was a lot of people just with the simple, like, it's beginning. This is the beginning of the end. The robot takeover, the AI takeover.
Yeah.
We've warned of it. And now we have a robot sending people to the hospital by just simply puncturing a can of bear repellent.
I think the real test of what this means for the future, does Bezos and Amazon do anything different?
No.
You think they just keep having robots out there? And
no. What's the response here, though, if you're one of the employees that got sent to the hospital? Like, say you're
do
one
you
of the
sue Amazon?
I'd think about suing Amazon. Try that damn robot sent me to the hospital.
Especially if you end up, like, in bad shape.
Yeah.
And you finally get out.
Yeah, you're one of the folks who's in critical condition.
And you survive it, and you get out, and now your system's messed up because of bear repellent? I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you know he can afford it.
Yeah, they released a statement saying all of the impacted employees have been or are expected to be released from the hospital within the next 24 hours. The safety of our employees is always our top priority, and a full investigation is already underway.
I don't know if you could say always if this happens one time, right?
Right.
You put robots in there that were capable of doing this.
Well, if you wonder why Amazon's not going to change anything, it's because they're a behemoth. And there was a story that came out today that I saw. There was like a poll done of millennials out there.
Okay.
And that's such a wide age gap, so I don't even like saying that. But I can remember the specific ages that they narrowed it down to. But they asked them, would you rather give up sex or not use Amazon for the entire next calendar year? And the majority of millennials voted for giving up sex instead of Amazon.
Really?
Yeah. So if you wonder why Amazon doesn't need to change anything or need to respond to something like this happening,
I really want to know the age range of those people.
It's stories like that, man.
What happens if you don't have Amazon? Guess what? You go back to how life was.
You go somewhere else. Yeah,
you go to stores.
I think it was a Business Insider article. Yeah, the headline reads, almost half of millennials say they'd rather give up sex than quit Amazon for a year, according to a new survey.
I don't like these surveys, man. I wasn't interviewed for it.
These millennials speaking for me. Speak for yourself, you Amazon shoppers. Come on, get your priorities right here.
I like sex, okay? Gosh.
That needs to be a drop.
I don't need Amazon that bad in my life. I don't even use Amazon that much, to be honest with you.
Now, this is the first year for me, Christmas shopping-wise, I have done all of it online so far.
Yeah.
I have turned into that shopper, so I'm feeding right into their hands
now,
apparently. Well,
yeah, and I see that. I think this is the time everybody's using Amazon because of the free shipping as a Prime member. My wife has had, and I'm not exaggerating, I think we've had 43 boxes and bags sent to our house in the last 3 weeks.
That's intense.
But she does a lot of she's really smart with the shopping. So she's getting great deals and at least that's what she tells me.
Sure, sure.
And
don't check the statements. Don't worry about it. We're getting good deals on these.
Right, right. And I hear I hear the reasoning for it, but if you're going to go to an extreme like that, I think this listener is spot on. At least half those people, they're not getting laid regularly, so that's why they voted the way they
so
voted.
So they're not giving anything up?
They have no idea what it's like to give that up.
You love your Amazon shows now and your Prime account, and you get the two-day shipping.
Right, right.
So that's actually, that makes sense. You're actually giving something up in that regard.
I just can't buy that that's more important to you than that. If it is, then I think there's a deeper conversation. And we've already had about three deep conversations to start the show today.
We have somebody texting in, take that damn robot to court. I want to see this go to trial. I demand justice be brought on every American, even the metal ones made in China.
Put them in robot prison?
That's right. We need to have a robot court for the robots out there that now realize bear spray can screw everybody up.
I mean, I think we knew that, didn't we?
Imagine if it was something more intense than that. Like, the robot just punctured a hole.
Ooh, that's a very controversial thing you just did.
I know, I did.
You gave it a sex.
I gave the robot a gender.
Let's be honest, it probably is a he.
If he's playing around with bear repellent, I would assume so, but
the odds of doing something this dumb.
Gender stereotyping.
We could read this story and you could insert male human and be like, I can see that happening.
Yeah, old Billy Bob down there getting ready for the bear hunt, accidentally sprayed it around his tent. Yeah, that's a guy thing to do.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, we got a good show today. We will not allow a robot to interrupt or send us to the hospital.
Well, I'm just hanging on as long as I can until the robots come for me. So I'm going to enjoy all the final shows that we have before the end is here.
Give me death, or do you become a slave to the robots? I want to start thinking about your position here.
What's it like being a robot slave?
I don't know. I think I'd rather die.
Yeah. Fair point.
All right. Well, we got a good show today. Andrew Nemec is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk recruiting. We're about 2 weeks out from the first signing day, which is December 19th. I'll try to get him on the show that day as well. But I want to get an update on Oregon and Oregon State. Oregon awaiting some big announcements from some pretty primetime players out there in high school going to college now. So he will join us at 1 o'clock. We will do our NFL picks. I'm interested to see what I did versus what Swigard did, because me and him are kind of going neck and neck here. As you have pointed out, that this is a competition now.
Hey, I'm coming up on your guy's heel, all right? I'm right there. I'm right behind you.
Kind of. Not really. Kind of.
I'm sniffing around.
So we'll get to that as well. But I want to start in the Pac-12 as John Wilner wrote an article in the San Jose Mercury News, and it's another damning article for the Pac-12, and we've mentioned this on the show. The problem is with the presidents, and guess what? Ed Ray, my alma mater, the president himself, actually gets real defensive for the Pac-12, and we'll talk about that next. You got Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:16. Welcome back in to Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. We are taking Preston Highfield's producing virginity today.
Yes, we are.
Welcome into the dark side, my man.
How's everybody?
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
We're doing all right.
Feel free to scream at me if you want. Swag already did it twice.
Get screamed about?
We were over the clock, so he yelled at him for not yelling at us about being a minute over the clock.
Where were you at on that one, man? Do your job over there.
Right? I know.
Under four mistakes he makes today.
I'll take the under.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll take the under on that one.
We don't have a lot of demand for today's show. Like, there's not a lot you could screw up.
You know, you got to fire those buttons off, fire the audio off. I think you can handle it.
Kind of expecting Nemec to be on the phone and somehow it doesn't work.
Yeah, that'll
probably happen.
That's the go-to.
Yeah, that's
life. If you could do traffic and weather reports for like 18 hours in one day, you can run the board for a radio show.
Figure it out, yeah.
It's a mindset.
Let's talk about the Pac-12. Everybody's writing about it. It's the thing to do right now, and I get it.
Hey,
I mean,
did you know the Pac-12 sucks?
I mean, I knew this before any article, and now we know it a lot.
Although, nice quality loss for the Huskies last night. Listener texted that in. Good point. Good quality loss for them.
Oh, I disagree. Strong disagree.
They went to Gonzaga and they almost won.
What's their quality win?
I'm just saying. They hung with
Gonzaga.
If you
have Gonzaga. No quality win, conference quality losses don't matter.
Quality loss on the road.
Needed them not to choke that away for the conference. But that was still a good game, and they almost had it. But yeah, Hachimura at the end is going to be able to bail out Gonzaga as they get the win. So, the conference in basketball sucks. Football, it sucks. And Yahoo, you remember Yahoo released that officiating article from Pete Thamel?
That was what blew this whole thing up. That was the initial reporting that made everybody realize how screwed up things were behind the scenes.
And then people kept digging and they found more and more just terrible things about Larry Scott and the conference. And John Wilner, who covers the conference as a whole down in the Bay Area, he got his hand on some emails from the commissioner and some chancellors and presidents and ADs.
Yeah, he made a public records request, and he still hasn't had a handful of universities that have fulfilled that request.
Oh, of course not.
And he filed this, by the way, in October.
Yeah. And so he kind of dives back into the officiating blunder about how Larry Scott emails everybody and says, I just want to give you guys a heads up. Pete Thamel of Yahoo is going to be releasing a story soon on our officiating blunder. And they talk about what their roles are in these emails. There's a gentleman by the name of, give me a second, Mike Ortiz. And you don't know that name, but he is basically Woody Dixon 1.0. Him and Woody Dixon are both in the officiating booth, and he actually contributes his opinion on overturning or not overturning calls. And by the way, he is not a trained official.
No.
So you have two people who are not actual officials that have helped dictate calls on the field, just as a reference point of how screwed up this whole thing is. And after that story was released, upon learning Dixon's involvement, Colorado AD Rick George wrote to the school's chancellor, Phil DeStefano, and said, Phil, this is not good. I would love to talk to you about this at your convenience. I've heard from multiple ADs this AM. Rick, when reached for comment, obviously they declined. And in exchange with Scott, Arizona State AD Ray Anderson wrote, tough but appropriate action on your part. Here to support you. Let me know if you need my direct assistance.
So as you can tell, Arizona State Athletic Director Ray Anderson, very upset about this.
Yeah, yeah. He's super screaming mad by supporting Larry Scott. Scott thanked him and said, a good, tough learning experience, and we move on. It's been especially tough on Woody, who is distraught over this. And if you haven't reached out already, I know how much he respects you and would appreciate hearing from you.
Well, and on the Mike Ortiz one, too, because that's a name that I don't think we knew about until this story came out. The fact that he was involved in the process as well has never been acknowledged by the conference. And if you remember, the day after this whole report came out, it was the media day for Pac-12 basketball. And Larry Scott had to show up, and we play the audio on our show. He released a statement, talked about Woody Dixon being there, said they've learned from their mistakes, gave us the yada, yada, yada BS, nobody's going to get penalized kind of stuff. He never acknowledged that Mike Ortiz was also involved in the process, and we didn't find out until now because of these internal emails that were going back and forth that he indeed was there. So you had two outside voices sharing their thoughts on officiating calls, neither of them trained as officials.
So after the initial uproar was gone, Larry Scott sent an update to the presidents and chancellors in which he expressed concern about the media coverage. He said, quote, while the officiating matter appears to be under control, many stories emerging from basketball media day suggest a more complex negative narrative that requires all of our attention. This narrative includes the fact that six of our schools have been mentioned in the ongoing federal trial on corruption in college basketball. And then they cut it off there. And then he goes to one of my favorites, Oregon State President Ed Ray, who responded to that message and to the rest of the presidents and chancellors with this, quote, we have no interest in letting others define us. We do have so much to be proud of. I have seen no adverse impact of sports writer nastiness among supporters of the university. We should talk about seizing the communications initiative in the sports world. I think some of your concern is probably due to having to deal continually with the characters who populate sports media. End quote, to which Scott responded to Ed Ray and said, thanks for your note and sharing with the group. We've got some CEOs new to this environment with angry sports blogger mob, and I'm sure some are more sensitive and reactionary to it. You were helpful. So the president of the dead last university in the Pac-12 financially and just overall in their biggest sport of football told Larry Scott, you know what? We're not going to allow these people to define us. They're sports writers. They mean nothing. And because the biggest of boosters at Oregon State have not voiced concern, there's really no problem with the conference.
It's really frustrating to read responses like that, and it sums up the problem that you and I have been highlighting now for weeks, and every time this story is brought back up again, that until you have those folks at the highest level of the universities holding Larry Scott accountable, nothing's going to change, and it's going to be the status quo. It's turning into one of those stories that it's getting tiring almost for me to a certain extent. You know, even going all the way back to last year in the bowl season, and it feels like every day there's a new article or a new story that comes out about how down the Pac-12 is, how we suck in all sports. There's no interest. There's no fan engagement. The conference has its head up its rear end. It's nothing but negativity, and all of it's true, and it's really frustrating to read as fans of Pac-12 and alumni of Pac-12 schools. But as you see from Ed Ray and other presidents in this story and the emails that they're sending back up to the conference, it's basically nothing but support. I mean, the officials that I've seen so far, at least in public public record requests that have been made to be negative, are Mike Leach and his response, but he's just a football coach. I'm sure a lot of the coaches feel his way.
But he's got no power.
He's got no power,
it.
But he was very upset about it. The Washington State athletic director kind of had a back and forth. The Colorado, as you mentioned, athletic director had a back and forth, kind of saying, like, this is concerning. We should probably talk about this. But anything further than that, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
Just saying, hey, this is concerning. It's frustrating. We should probably talk about it and get to the bottom of it. And then nothing ever is changed or done about it.
There's an individual here named Kirk Schultz. He's a president. What school is he at? Lost it. Hold on. Anyways, Kirk Schultz, he's a president in the Pac-12. Give me a second. I'll try to find it.
He's the president of Wazoo.
Wazoo, yeah, that's the one you were referencing. He says, quote, I did like this. I do think as presidents, we could do more to assist with the sports media around these types of situations, the Woody Dixon USC situation. I would like us to discuss ways all of us can support the conference with our local media sports reporters at our November meeting. In particular, I thought that Arizona President Robert Robbins' interview recently about Arizona athletics in the Pac-12 was particularly effective. Some additional voices of support in times of media scrutiny cannot show conference unity. So he basically says, you know, I do think we could be working better with the media here to try to help the narrative with our conference, but of course they don't. As I've mentioned on this show, I have emailed 5 times about trying to get any comment from Ed Ray. Every single time I've even referenced to getting Scott Barnes on the show, which does nothing for me, or he's declined an interview and to even give a statement about anything.
Yeah.
Which, as you guys know, if you listen to the show, women harboring on that. I'm a proud alum of Oregon State, but it's absolutely pathetic. And I don't know. I just think it lacks wherewithal to not identify that your conference has real problems. And I understand that Oregon State has a great women's basketball program. I understand the baseball team's successful. That's all well and good. I almost wonder if he doesn't do anything because he likes that those programs get highlighted on their crappy conference network. Because other than that, I don't know why you wouldn't be pushing to try to go get the $20 million that you're missing out on compared to the other Power 5 conferences. You're at the bottom in the Pac-12. You don't have a donor base close to 90% of the schools in this conference, and you're A-OK with what it's doing right now. It's dumbfounding to me.
Well, and Larry Scott wrote a letter to the presidents and chancellors a day or two after the initial Yahoo story broke, and it was a lengthy note and basically says that I'll read a snippet of it. I don't expect criticism of the officiating decisions to go away in the short term. The second story is a matter written on by Yahoo and many other journalists suggest that our immediate action and admission of the mistake worked effectively to address this matter. While the officiating matter appears to be under control, many stories emerging from the media day suggest a more complex negative narrative that requires all of our attention. It goes on to say they're trying to connect these dots between DirecTV, the teams not making the playoffs, and that kind of stuff. And then he ends with this note, and I think this sums up what you were highlighting and the problem that we have out here if you're just thinking about football. He said, as we all know, we have had many proud accomplishments as an all-around athletic excellence, including leading the nation in NCAA titles of the last 13 years, continue to lead the national conversation
about that
on important issues in college athletics like student-athlete reform, health, and well-being. However, we share a collective interest and responsibility to recognize the way these dots are being connected and, more importantly, address these perceptions head-on for the benefit of all member institutions. So it goes back to, I mean, they say, hey, Bill Walton's line, Conference of Champions.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, Ed Ray, I think it's a good example of a guy who looks at the success of some of his athletic programs, not the money makers, mm-hmm. but they do have success in some programs. And he likes maybe the support he gets from Larry Scott in that regard, and he likes that the network that the conference has put out highlights his successful teams.
Yeah, never mind the fact that the one that can make you the most money is in the worst shape that it's been in 20-plus years. Let's just focus on ones that, you know, it's great, but they make no money for your university. But whatever. One final thought on this, and we'll read some texts on it and give you a few more thoughts. John Wilner reached out to executives at the ACC, the Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC and asked specifically about the identity and background of those involved in the replay review process. None of the conferences permit untrained officials to participate in discussions about the interpretation of rules or the accuracy of calls on the field. So we're leading the conference of idiots. Good job for us. Read some thoughts on this at the Better You Today text line at 55305. Give some more thoughts next.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Funny little line here from Andy Staples, who commented about Ed Ray. He said, Oregon State Prez Ed Ray is hilarious. He somehow thinks that seizing the communications initiative in the sports world will somehow make people stop believing what's in front of their eyes. I always love people in power who just think, we're going to control how people feel about things. Like, no, you're not. You're an idiot. And then Andy Staples added this at the end. You may also remember Ed Ray as the guy who didn't bother to read the free report from Penn State.
Well, that's not good. That's not good.
I jokingly, I tweeted this to somebody about 30, 45 minutes ago because I tweeted something out about, you know, we've been talking on this show. The Larry Scott stuff is juicy. It's really good stuff to read about. I'm not bashing anybody that's written about it. But to me, the biggest issue is the leaders. It's the CEOs and the presidents or whatever you want to call them for the Pac-12. They're the ones agreeing to pay that guy $4 million. They're the ones putting their heads in the sand. They're the ones okay with everything as is. They are the ones that inflict change for this conference, and they're doing nothing. And now you have seen the poorest of the presidents in this conference come out and get defensive and get angry and say, yeah, we're going to control how things are run here.
Right.
When that happens, that leaves you almost no hope that anything will ever change for the conference. But I jokingly put on a hashtag to somebody, not my president. Not my president.
He's not my president,
Ed Ray.
It's
a conference of idiots right now. And I don't know.
It's unfortunate.
I don't know if anything's going to change it. And we can tweet, we can write stories, or we can talk about things on the radio. I feel like it almost just, it makes them more angry. It makes them more defensive, you know?
That's what it's felt like so far, because that, when you read these internal emails, has been their response to it. It's them digging their heels in, saying, how dare this negative coverage continue? They don't understand what's going on behind the scenes and how successful we've been in all these endeavors. And they're trying to connect dots that don't exist, like the NCAA scandal to the DirecTV to the officiating, where most people who are level-headed and smart can just say, it just shows your incompetence. Maybe not all of the events are connected, but when you total them up, it shows the incompetence of the conference. And, you know, I'll go back to two points that I make quite often. One that I made the day after this initial Yahoo story came out that was the biggest frustration for me is when you have what happened in the Pac-12 go down with third-party people overruling officials, changing a call that changes the outcome of a game that kept Washington State out of a New Year's Six bowl game. Because if they go 11-1, they're in a New Year's. They should have been in a 10-2. But if they go 11-1, they're in a New Year's Six bowl game. When you have something like that happen, you need to fire somebody. Any organization in the world, if you have something like that go down, there's going to be some couple of heads that roll, whether you think it's fair or not, whether you think it's right or not. Just from a simple PR standpoint, you need to do it.
Didn't they just suspend Woody Dixon? And that what they did?
He got a suspension, and they said he won't be involved in officiating anymore. And then you see these Larry Scott emails. He's as distraught over this as anybody.
He's really broken up about it.
He stole a win from a football team. What are you doing calling in the first place? And I brought that up the day after the story was reported. That, to me, has been the biggest frustration all along. Outside of a mere suspension, a couple of comments from the conference, there's been no actual punishment for anybody involved, which is laughable. But I think the when you go back to the failure on the field, the unfortunate part that the conference is – the unfortunate situation that they're in is you have the conference not doing anything to help the teams at the bottom financially, programs like Oregon State. The money's not there like it is in other conferences. They're not propping up the bottom of the conference. But then furthermore, over the last 5 or 6 years in this playoff era, you have not had a consistent dominant program like every other conference has. And that is what makes the Pac-12 look weaker than the others out there. Because when you look at the SEC, it's Alabama. Recently, it's Georgia, but it's basically two programs. When you look at the Big 12, only one of their teams has made the playoff.
Oklahoma,
again,
yeah.
This year, it's Oklahoma. ACC, they had Florida State initially. They fell off. It's been Clemson every single year. Ohio State in the Big Ten.
They won.
The 1 year with Michigan State, but outside of that, Ohio State's been the only driving force. You haven't had that in the Pac-12. You had Oregon initially. Helfrich tanked them. Stanford hasn't been able to rise above. Washington's had their couple of years, but they didn't live up to the hype, I guess, or expectations since making their playoff run a couple of years ago. That's where the conference is at right now, and it's why people view it so much weaker than the others. You're left out of the playoff because you don't have an Alabama that's just dominating everybody year in and year out.
Yeah, the other part on what you just mentioned, the bottom of the conference and propping it up and trying to help it, like, you know, at some point, coaching and all that stuff matters. But to your point, why would I feel the need? If I'm Larry Scott or I'm somebody of power in the Pac-12, and you say that to me, I would respond with, well, what are you talking about? Ask Ed Ray how he feels about that.
Right.
And this is it. This is the problem. This is what I am telling you guys. This is a president's problem. Larry Scott is the face, and it's the president's running this conference. Larry Scott's making decisions, but guess who's getting the okay from him? The presidents are saying, yeah, go ahead, make that move. Oh, you want $4 million a year? Great. Oh, your own network? That's not going to go on DirecTV, no problem at all, because you're going to show swimming, you're going to show basketball games nobody cares about, you're going to show replay tennis matches, you're going to show baseball games, you're going to show replays of old football games, and in the season, you're going to have football games that nobody wants to watch anyway.
Right.
So because of all of that, when you talk about propping up the bottom of your conference, I mean, look at Jim Delaney, right? Jim Delaney, although I disagree, came out and said, we have three teams I think can win the national championship. Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State.
Some people laugh at it,
right.
But...
Oh, I laugh at it, but at least he's going out there and doing it. What did Larry Scott say? Yeah. What was his response this year? Well, we have the most championships of any other conference.
Have you checked out our women's swimming teams?
Great. I'm glad we're counting all 150 track titles that they give out every competition.
And Oregon wins like 120 of them.
It's just, it's so annoying. It's so tiring. Yeah. And I think for some people out there, maybe we're getting to a point where this storyline is just, it's the same. So it's like, well, okay, tell me something new. And I hear that. I feel the same way.
There's an exhaustion factor with it, no doubt about it.
But I just feel like we should be stressing more and more, and not just us, everybody that is a sports fan, that's in the media, you need to be directing your anger towards the presidents. Because right now they are making this a conference of idiots. And I don't care if they think we're insulting their intelligence. We kind of are. When you make a bad decision, you have to suffer the consequences of that. And you have to be able to swallow the pride. But for guys like that, like Ed Ray, who walks around the OSU campus and thinks everything's all hunky-dory, he doesn't feel the need to ever do that. If you or I have an opinion or we ask a bad question, What happens to us? Mm-hmm. How many texts come in? You're a moron. You're an idiot. I can't believe you asked that. Sometimes we do it wrong. That's life. But you got to own it, and you got to make the correction. And if these guys aren't willing to do that, there's no hope for the conference.
Right.
Not in the foreseeable future.
No.
So, you know, articles be damned. I think the Ed Ray comment in that whole John Wilner piece, which is really good.
Yeah, if I were a Beaver fan, I would.
I'd be furious.
Drive me up a wall.
He's
man.
Also telling me, and
drive
I know this is a reality, but he doesn't care about anybody outside of the people donating probably more than $120,000 a year to that institution.
Yeah.
And that's not shocking, but to see it in print, it's just kind of like somebody out there that donates. I know somebody that is an alum. They don't live here anymore. They donate to that university, and they donate a decent chunk, but it's not in the six-figure range. Today, Ed Ray just said, I don't care about those people. I only care about the people who matter the most financially.
Well, and you and I are in agreement, too, that the bull season doesn't necessarily, it's not a fair translation to where you stack up with other conferences. But you, if you have another bull season this year like you did last year, this conversation, it's just going to throw gasoline on the fire. If you come out, Washington State loses, Washington loses, some of the other teams that are favorites in their games lay flat and they don't look good, and you get beat up by other Power Five conferences again, and then you follow that up with what looks like is going to be an extremely disappointing season in college basketball, with I believe only one team in the top 25 right now, in Arizona State, and everybody else is just trying to figure out what the hell they got. It's just going to continue to throw gasoline on this fire. So we could be exhausted of the story, but if the bowl season goes bad and the basketball season goes the way we think it's going to go, it's just going to get worse.
Get your head out of the sand, Ed Ray. That's my last message. All right, we'll move on. Somebody getting, they're getting shortchanged, and I don't like it. And I'll tell you who that is next on 1080 The Fan.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
All right, Andrew Nimmick coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk some recruiting. How's Oregon doing? Should we be looking for some big names coming up here on December 19th? And then the Beavs. I've seen a lot of doom and gloom on the Beavs. I'm curious to hear from Nimmick if he thinks the transfers have impacted the recruiting class this year, because they have a quarterback, I believe a defensive end and a linebacker transferring in.
And those will not count on their recruiting rankings.
But I wonder how it impacts the way that they've gone about recruiting and just how Jonathan Smith and staff have done.
There is, I believe, a class with a worse recruiting class than them.
In the Pac-12 or in the country?
Well, both. I think they're 11th.
It's UCLA.
Is it UCLA?
Yeah.
I feel like that can change very quickly for like the Bruins, because I remember last year when Herm was hired, ASU was dead last, and in about 2 weeks, Herm actually got it to fifth or sixth. So programs like that, it's easier for them, in my opinion, to move right up there.
Ooh, I'm looking at 24/7. Apparently, it's Utah.
Utah doesn't recruit very well.
UCLA is 10th, though.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it changed in the last 2 weeks.
It could have flipped. Yeah. Utah only has 9 commits right now. I mean, it's early.
Some of that stuff can change.
Well, those are
so
verbal
much.
Commits that you can lose them. It's not, those aren't guys that have signed on the dotted line. But.
Right. I want to read this text real quick. I think this is a good point. Ever watch those restaurant shows where Gordon Ramsay or Robert Irvine go to crappy restaurants and they try to turn them around? One of the biggest issues are owners who are doing things the way they like instead of what customers like or what drives business. That's the Pac-12. They like parity. Equality between sports and whatnot, and it makes them happy. Meanwhile, all the other conferences are growing their businesses. 100%. I've watched Restaurant Impossible with Robert Irvine a ton.
That is a great show.
I agree 1,000%. My grandpa was on that show.
Oh, humble brag.
Yeah. He was on just a couple years ago.
Does he run a restaurant?
No, he is a...
Is he employee of the restaurant?
He's a prep cook.
Okay.
But before my grandma passed, she called me. She's like, you got to watch. He's on tonight. And I saw him, and it's just hilarious.
Was he one of the guys that got yelled at? Did he get in trouble for his work ethic? Or was he like, you need to hire more guys like this guy?
No, but he handed Robert Irvine a plate of the food that they had made before he made it a good restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And I think he made a joke like, boy, I'm glad you're here. And everybody laughed, and Robert Irvine tasted food. He was like, yeah, me too. It's like, oh, my grandpa made him laugh. There
well done, Grandpa Sprague.
No, I think that's 100% right. It's the exact same thing. It's what happens in life. Again, we all get caught up in it in some way at our job, but it's just the people who are willing to be flexible and take criticism and change if they can admit they're wrong. And right now, that didn't seem to be the case in the Pac-12. I want to get to this before we get to the second hour. Brett McMurphy tweeted the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year finalists. Bill Clark. Do you know what college Bill Clark coaches?
UAB?
Did you see this tweet?
Yes,
okay,
I did.
All right, you wouldn't be able to identify that,
I just
that, right?
remembered I thought UAB was the first school on the list, so I went with UAB.
Okay, UAB, Josh Heupel from UCF, Brian Kelly, Notre Dame, Jeff Monken from...
The Army?
Yeah.
There
you go. I wouldn't have guessed that. Lincoln Riley, Nick Saban, Dabo, and Tedford for Fresno State. Those are your finalists. Mike Leach was not a coach of the year finalist for the Cougs, who, by the way, they were picked to finish fifth in their division, not the conference, the division they play.
Yeah, and that puts them at about, what, 10th in the conference, 9th or 10th?
It was, yeah, 8th through whatever, yeah.
What was the over-under on the Cougs? Coug fan can help me with that. What was the over? It was 6?
6 or 6.5.
Yeah, and they clearly exceeded that.
I remember that because I was like, man, should I lay the over?
This is ridiculous to me. This is like having a metric where if you don't win a national championship or your conference, you can't win the Heisman Trophy. They're not equal. Like taking a team that had no expectations, that I think if you told the fan base in August, hey, you're gonna sneak into a bowl game this year at 6-6, most Cougar fans would probably say, sweet, fourth year in a row, we're going to a bowl game. To take that team with the recruiting rankings that they've had the last handful of years, a grad transfer quarterback, to go through the turmoil that they went through last offseason with the tragedy that happened, and then to turn it into a 10-2 year. Should have been 11-1, as we've highlighted over the last half hour, and you're not up for the coach of the year. I'm not saying he should win the award. I'm not saying he's had the best coaching job in the country this year, but to not even be named as a finalist, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and somebody said, guys, Washington State, they were so bad for so long, they carry no cachet whatsoever. Does UAB? UAB didn't exist
UAB.
2 years ago.
How many people out there can even name me the UAB acronym?
Well, yeah. I think most people could.
I bet there's a handful out there that can't.
Alabama, Birmingham.
Well, you just gave it away.
Well, I'm for the people who don't know.
Could have made them play the game.
They went away. They stopped their program and they brought it back.
I know, yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah, sure. Throw that guy on the finalist list. A good point, too. They also lost 5 assistants.
Yeah.
And including their defensive coordinator, which everybody thought was going to be a huge blow to them.
This is what sports is in general, but we're arguing over something stupid and irrelevant, right? But if you're saying finalists for something like this, why can't he be a finalist?
Yeah, and that's the whole they don't have a cachet thing. I'm with you.
Brian Kelly's going to win this award, by the way. Notre Dame wasn't picked to go undefeated and be in the national championship conversation this year. So
yeah, I'd probably give it to Brian Kelly.
I'd go Brian Kelly. Or I'd probably go Munkin's. I think Army's 9-3 this year.
9-3
that's
in the ranks.
Damn good season.
Top 25. Almost beat Oklahoma on that.
Tedford had a great
game year.
Like, you have guys that legitimately are going or should win this. Mike Leach should be in the conversation of deserving candidates. I don't care if he won his conference.
No, that doesn't have any bearing to me. And it feels like it's just one. I'm not even a Coug fan. It's like one swift kick to the nuts after another for them the last couple of weeks. With the way the Apple Cup goes down to kind of end their season and cancel the dreams of the dreams that they had for the year. Then you get left out of a New Year's Six bowl game, which I think is laughable and ridiculous that some programs made it ahead of you. So you have to go to, what are they going to, the Alamo Bowl, right? So you get left out of that big-time bowl game. Then Gardner Minshew, after the year that he's had, doesn't get invited to New York, which everybody can debate, but still with the season he had, he should have been in the conversation in my mind. And now this, it's three quick, swift kicks to the nuts right at the end of the year.
Well, and this is a good point, too. Mike Leach won Coach of the Year in the conference.
Which is good. He should win it. He was the best coach in the conference this year.
Well, but hold on. 1, 2, 3. So 3 of the 5 coaches that won their conference are on this list.
Yeah.
We couldn't get the Pac-12. Really?
Can't just throw them in there?
Dino Babers not on this list for Syracuse. They had a great season. Does it mean everything? No, it doesn't, but it's a joke. It's a joke he's not on the list.
It is.
They won 10 games in a year where they were picked to finish 5th in their division. Their quarterback, unfortunately, committed suicide. Like, they dealt with a lot of things, and they weren't expected to be good at all. And they won 10 mother bleeping games. 10. Get on the list.
Put some respect on the name, would you? Come on.
All right, we have a loaded second hour, and we're going to start with Andrew Nemec, a recruiting insider, OregonLive.com. He joins the show next hour, too. Dirt and Sprague back with more on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.